Well, friends, what a joyful and amazing time we have already had this morning. I am so impressed with your willingness to just embrace all of this slightly organized chaos that we seem to have around us today. You know, this is one of my favorite Sundays of the entire year, and so much of it is because when we all come together, we combine all our worship services. It's like I watch you guys seeing each other for the first time in a long time. It's almost like this family reunion where we're just saying thank you to God for all that God has done for us and really for this entire world through the gift of Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful to our children, to our young people, to our choir, our handbell choir, to Sandra, who has been running around all over the place, our ushers, our greeters. There have been people here for days cleaning up the campus, trying to make it look so beautiful. People have brought food to share in a potluck after this, and we're cooking out hot dogs and hamburgers, and the Easter Bunny's coming. It's just a big day in the life of our congregation, and I'm just so pleased that we're here together and we're able to celebrate. I love that, again, slightly organized chaos, because all over the world, Christians are doing the exact same thing. They're having these processionals, these parades, and they're remembering that Jesus, the King of Kings, is here with us. So if this is your first Palm Sunday celebration, or even if it's your 50th, I just hope that the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is being felt by all of us right now. So we want to take just a few more minutes. We've already heard the Palm Sunday story very faithfully proclaimed, and we've really experienced it, but we're going to hear it one more time, and as we do so, I want to encourage you to kind of still hang on to this slightly organized chaos, family reunion type of feeling. Right, I want to encourage you, just like Ben did in our introduction and our welcome, I might ask you some questions, and you feel free to shout out some answers, wave your palm branches. A few hosannas and amens is not going to hurt anybody in this service. Because here's the thing, what we learn through Palm Sunday, when we act out these scripture stories, it's like we have a better chance to imagine what it might have been like for those first people who experienced Palm Sunday so many years ago. So today we're going to be reading our scripture from the 11th chapter of Mark. So if you find your Bibles, I want to encourage you to open it up, and we're going to look at it a couple of times. So you've got a pew Bible in front of you. Some of you may use your phones. Whatever's comfortable for you is great. But we're going to look at that 11th chapter of Mark. And as we do, I want to set the scene a little bit as you're finding your place there. So 2,000 years ago, right, Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem on this particular day. And you know it's not just any old day. Jesus is going into Jerusalem with thousands of other Jews from all over the world, and they are there to celebrate Passover. All right, so here's interactive question number one. Does anybody remember what Passover represents?
I know.
Oh, Sandra, do you know?
I know.
Yeah.
It's when God rescued his people, the Israelites, from slavery in Egypt.
That is right. Wow. She was really on point with that question, huh? That is so true. There are many things that Passover represents, but in this instance, what we want to focus on is how God delivered the Jewish people out of slavery in Egypt. And so thousands of years after that Exodus, you know, in the time of Christ, faithful Jews would travel to Jerusalem just like this. They would join with family, friends, and strangers, and they would have all of this joy and hope and expectation. You would find them singing songs of Hosanna in the streets and in their homes, sharing meals together, and they might be waving these palm branches. All right, so take out your palm branch and wave it, because we're interactive today and want to keep you awake. This is a symbol of freedom. And so on that first Palm Sunday, people would have been waving these. And it, in some ways, it would have been because of Jesus, but it also would have been because of the time of year. And I think, you know, it's tempting to think that we can't relate to things that happened so many years ago, but maybe it's not so hard to imagine given what we just did. I mean, right, can't you imagine those narrow streets of Jerusalem where people are trying to kind of squeeze in between? Sometimes our pews and aisles feel a little bit narrow, I'm not going to lie. And so we can imagine all of that chaos. We imagine babies crying and children laughing and families just gathering together. And they were so hopeful, shouting out Hosanna. What does Hosanna mean again? Anybody? Save us, God, save us. So can you imagine all of that bustle, all of that sort of energy that we feel? And here you have, into this very tumultuous, joyful, crowded, hopeful, and chaotic scene, that Jesus comes. And what's he riding on again? A donkey. A donkey, of all things. Or a colt is what it's called in our scripture passage today. And so into all of that chaos of Passover week, Jesus and his disciples come. So I'm going to read from Mark 11, and you follow along in your Bibles if you've got them with you. And I want to encourage you to pay attention to the details. What does Jesus say and do, and how do the people respond? So when Jesus and his followers approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus gave two disciples a task, saying to them, "Go into that village over there, and as soon as you enter it, you will find tied up there a colt or a donkey that no one has ridden before. Untie it and bring it here, and if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' then you just say, 'The master needs it,' and he will send it back right away." And so they went, and they found this colt tied to a gate outside on the street, and they untied it. And naturally, some people standing around said to them, "What are you doing untying this colt?" And they told them just what Jesus said, and they left them alone. And then they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their clothes upon it, and Jesus sat down on the colt, sat down on this donkey. And then many people started spreading out their clothes on the road, their coats, and while others were spreading out palm branches that were cut from the fields. And all of the people that were in front of Jesus and all the people that were following behind Jesus were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David." Many were calling for peace and shouting, "Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus entered Jerusalem, and he went into the temple. And after he looked around at everything, because it was already late in the evening, he returned to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So hold on to your Bibles, and we may refer back to them in just a moment. But as you read and you hear this passage of Scripture that last time, do you notice how specific and how particular Jesus seems to be about how he is going to enter the city of Jerusalem during this Passover celebration? In the midst of all of that chaos, here we find Jesus, right? And we remember that he's the one that has been healing people, preaching, teaching. He uses his words a lot, and he's very active. He's walking around throughout all of the Gospels, nearly. And in this one scene, we find him on this very small, humble animal, entering not only the city of Jerusalem without a word, but it seems like maybe he's also entering the hearts of these people. So why would he choose such a simple animal as a donkey to ride on? Well, we heard a little bit about it in the video, and if you have your Bibles, you may see a notation in there that quotes that passage from Zechariah, the Old Testament book, and it says, "Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey." And that may seem, if we're honest, I think, like a kind of obscure passage, at least to our ears. But you know, this was a very familiar scripture, particularly to the people during the Passover celebration. They would have been looking very vigilantly, looking anxiously, hoping to find their long-awaited king, this long-awaited Messiah that they believed would deliver them once again, just as God had delivered them before. And we see in the way that the people react to him that they are finally starting to make this connection. All right, so in verse 8, what do they lay down on the road in front of him? Their coats and their cloaks, their sort of their outer garments. And what else? They wave these, and some of them lay down these, right? Palm branches, good. Okay, so making sure you're awake. Now, why would they do that? Why would they lay down things like that? Well, in the ancient Roman Empire, this was the precise kind of thing that you did when you were welcoming a new king into the city. This was not the kind of thing that you did for someone who did not hold a governmental position, for example, someone who didn't hold any kind of power or position or prestige. But as the people respond to Jesus in this way, it's like you can just see the wheels turning in their heads and they're finally making this connection. Maybe this is the one that we've been waiting for. Because that's what they say when they say, Hosanna, save us. They bless Jesus and they welcome him into the city. Friends, you know, we see in the way these people react to Jesus that they are deeply affected by the choice he makes that day. I think for those of us who know how this story ends, we also ought to be deeply affected by the choice that Jesus makes that day. Right? Because Palm Sunday is the first day of Holy Week, and in the days to come, we are going to walk with Jesus that very difficult road that ultimately leads to the cross. On Thursday, we'll gather together and we'll remember the pain and the suffering that he endured because his friends abandoned him and denied him and betrayed him. And then on Friday, we'll have to face the suffering that he endured on the cross. And then thankfully next Sunday, we'll get to come into this sanctuary again, and thankfully we'll say Alleluia, and we will rejoice that God raised Jesus from the dead on Easter Sunday. Yet all along the way, if we pay attention, we can see that Jesus makes choices in each moment of the last week of his earthly life. Choices that show just how much he loves us, and choices that I think maybe challenge us to choose to live our own lives in the way that he did in this world, right? A heart that is focused on peace and love and grace and kindness. But it all begins with this first choice that Jesus makes to ride that donkey into Jerusalem during the Passover festival. This allows him to intentionally connect himself with the prophecy of the Messiah King, but it ultimately puts his life at risk, right? So as odd as our slightly organized chaos might have seemed to us today, in the time of Christ, those outwardly random symbols of the donkey, the clothes, the shouts of Hosanna, the palm branches waving, these were all like pieces of a puzzle that sort of came together for people on Palm Sunday, helping them to see that Jesus really is the Messiah, the Savior of all people. Yet these things are also what determined that Jesus would later become the crucified, the disruptor of the entire Roman Empire. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but it's something I learned recently. Jesus was not the only one who processed and paraded into the city of Jerusalem at Passover. Did you know that? I didn't know that. It turns out that on the opposite side of the city, the rulers of the Roman Empire held their own parade. Right? So at that time, you had King Herod Antipas and Governor Pontius Pilate. And they would have led their own royal processions, only they would have been traveling on these huge war horses, and they would have brought with them literally thousands of Roman soldiers in chariots and on foot, and they would have been dressed in this battle gear, and they would have been displaying their weapons and their power and their might. And it was all with this intention to try to kind of calm down this slightly organized chaos and joy that the people of Israel were feeling, hopeful for deliverance and freedom and peace. And can you imagine the intimidation that would result with such a display of force? Can you imagine how much anxiety the people must have felt even in the midst of a time when they were supposed to be celebrating the faithfulness of God? Can you imagine the stark contrast, the huge difference between these two parades? So friends, these palm branches that we hold in our hands this day, you know, they embody the very hope of a broken and struggling group of people. And I think while it may be tempting to think that a festival pilgrimage of Passover some 2,000 years ago is hard to relate to, don't you think that as we come together today waving these palm branches and calling out, Hosanna, God, save us, help us, we need you, I wonder if we too just might be able to connect with those ancient people who were disillusioned and disappointed sometimes. Maybe they were fearful and anxious, desperate, searching for someone or something that might just offer them a little bit of peace and stability, equity and hope. Friends, the truth is that Palm Sunday ultimately presents us with a choice to make ourselves as we try to live into this incredible faith that God in Jesus Christ has called us to. So our question today is, which king will we serve? Which parade will we attend? Will we follow the Governor Pilates and the King Herods of this world, those who would call us to war with one another, those who would try to maybe convince us that our enemies are so much just anyone who's different than us? They might say that an unjust order is better than no order at all. These are the kinds of people that somehow tell us that it's okay to oppress others or to treat poorly those in our communities that are vulnerable and not doing so well. Or will we follow Jesus? Will we follow the servant king who heals the sick and feeds the hungry and offers these words of hope and grace, of peace and kindness? Will we choose to follow Jesus, who spent the majority of his life spending time with those who were outcast? You know, really like the brokenhearted of the world. Those were Jesus's people, walking around as Jesus did in these humble clothes, sharing his heart, his time, all of himself with people who needed him the most, telling us that we might really actually be able to love our enemies, that we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Will we choose to follow Jesus, who comes to us riding on a donkey, all humble and gracious, asking us to pursue peace, not only with our friends, but with those who are different than we are? Jesus, who would call us to encourage and help and empower one another. Friends, on this day, when we celebrate Jesus the servant, Jesus the King of Peace, pray that you might take this palm branch with you today. And maybe you set it out someplace where you'll see it every single day this week. And whenever you look at it, I pray that maybe we could be reminded that we too can be brave like Jesus. We too can choose the way of Christ, the path of peace in both the small things, right, in our lives and in the big things. Because maybe if we can be brave enough to choose the peace of Christ, then maybe, just maybe, we and this whole world might be changed forever by living as people who believe in God's love. Amen? Amen.